This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Are you ready for history, Keith?
Oh, I love history. You know what, Jones? I was a history minor at Hobart College.
Wow.
I minored in history, so I know a little bit about history.
Sick brag, bro.
No big deal, kind of a big deal.
I mean, speaking of history, that might set the record for the earliest.
Earliest brag.
It's right
on
up there.
Record.
If the official show historian wants to track
history
that for
minor.
Us. You could. Yeah, I feel like this has come up on the show
Don't
before.
Don't give me any kind of trivia. Don't try to stump me. Don't know gotcha media right now. I'm just letting you know what it was.
I showed up at the end of my senior year at Northeastern.
Yeah.
And I go, hey.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you. And I go, hey, I'm thinking about minoring. I don't even remember what it was. I'm thinking about minoring in this. They're like, it's too late for you.
A little late,
like,
pal.
You'll be lucky if you graduate.
A little late.
Never mind minoring. Hey, you know, Keith, they say every day you show up to the ballpark, the fun thing about baseball, you never know what you're going to see.
You never know. That's why they play the games, Jones.
In our lifetimes, maybe Charlie Morton's lifetime.
Charlie Morton's seen it.
But in our lifetimes, we've never seen a game end the way it did last night.
No, we haven't. That's why it's both a beautiful game, but also a maddening, frustrating game as well. Like, what a brutal way to end. It's almost like you kind of add it to the pile, depending on how this season goes. Right, there's still a lot of time left. I know it doesn't look great after the All-Star break. But when you're just like adding up things that have happened to this team, where there's like running into outs, running into each other in the field, throwing the ball all around for like inside the park home runs, losing on a catcher's interference goes right to the top of the list. Now, I don't think they're necessarily going to win the game. Right, the sacks were packed, nobody out. I don't think if Narvaez just catches it normally, maybe they lose 2 seconds later. But it is just kind of comical that, like, oh, how'd you lose? Another extra inning game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, specifically, how'd you lose? Oh, catcher's interference.
So I agree with you. They were losing that game either way. This is not like crying
about
umpires or anything like that.
But it's just ridiculous.
It's just only this team.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean this year's version, but like only this Red Sox club under Alex Cora, which has been going on for years. They're just not exactly the brightest team. Now, hopefully this year they have more talent to overcome it. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I think they do. But this was a different kind of loss than the two to the Cubs. Two to the Cubs, all right, you run into good pitchers on the other end. The offense is quiet, fine. This one, it kind of felt like they had Wheeler's number early in the game. Duran starts it off with a leadoff home run. He wasn't sharp. It was almost like Crochet. On Sunday, like you watched Wheeler, he didn't really have his best stuff. They made him work. They got him out of the game after six.
Right, but still nasty. He's one of like the five or six nasty guys. You're right. Bad game. Not even a bad game, but like not his best stuff. Six innings, 10 Ks, two runs.
And it felt like they were right on the verge of like four or five runs, but they couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And that was frustrating. Then you get into the bullpen. Like Chapman has this awesome moment. He blows away Bryce Harper, stares him down. 100 miles an hour, power on power.
Badass.
Like all this great stuff.
Yep.
And then your guy, Keith.
Yeah, I may have been a little ahead of this. I might have jinxed my guy.
You want a mea culpa on Jordan Hicks?
Yeah, I think I'm off of Jordan Hicks now.
His 10th inning, he comes in. He walks a guy trying to bunt.
Tough luck loss for Jordan Hicks. Didn't give up a hit or an earned run. Takes the loss.
That's Anderson, Hicks. They both suck.
Yeah, I'm back on that.
After the Red Sox do nothing in the top of the 10th, Jaron Duran's up 2-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghost runner on second. You can't come through. So they don't score, and you knew they're in trouble in the top of the 10th when they don't score. But no, you get Hicks to the bottom.
Couldn't really find the strike zone last night.
Hicks, four-pitch walk on a guy trying to bunt.
Yeah.
Wild pitch, runners to second and third. Intentionally walks.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Max Kepler. Gotta, you know, get a force in.
Hey, guys, force anywhere. Plays at home.
Then he
plays
starts,
at home.
He starts ahead 0-2 on Sosa. You're like, okay, man, strikeout
yeah.
here.
He's got good double stuff. Play. He's got good stuff.
And you lose on the catcher's interference.
Yeah, just kind of hang back a little bit more. Needed you to be back a little bit more there with your mitt.
It's the second time in baseball history. The previous time a game ended on a catcher's interference, Dodgers and Reds, in 1971, Keith.
Yeah.
This is the first time since then, the only time that's happened. Terp had a good number two on all the Red Sox catcher's interference this year. They lead baseball with Castig, if you want to stand by on this one, 7 catcher's interferences this year.
7!
That's a lot of catcher's interferences.
Leads Major League Baseball. And I'll add parenthetically on top of it, last night, Narvaez kind of stunk.
Yeah, he does.
Pass ball. Pass ball. I don't know if he got credited with the second pass ball or if that was a wild pitch to Chapman that he let go by, but not a good defensive night for Narvaez and just an uninspiring way to lose a baseball game.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Narvaez also leads the majors in throwing runners out.
So that's probably right.
So I wonder if they're related in any way. Like, does he feel like he needs to, like, get a little bit closer to the ball type of thing?
Or? His explanation last night, or maybe I was listening to Will. I heard this after the game, found it interesting. It helps with pitch framing. Like, the closer you are to the plate, that helps with pitch framing. He's also a very good pitch framer.
So is this one of those, you know, it giveth and it taketh away? Like, you kind of need to be aggressive? Because going into this, Nick can attest to it. He's our resident defensive metrics guy. Narvaez is one of the best defensive catchers in baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't look like it last night.
He had a bad
night.
I'm not saying he's bad defensively,
but I'm just saying, like, that style. Because I think the easy reaction would be after losing a game via catcher's interference, like, hey, dude, back up. Back up a little bit. Don't let that happen.
Well, Narvaez did say after the game, they have, like, scouting reports on all these hitters where Veritek is like, get closer to the plate on this guy, back up on that guy. And so, I don't know, that's something I'd never really spent time thinking about, but I found it interesting.
But obviously that scouting report hasn't been going great if they lead the league in catcher's interference.
No, that's fair point.
But it's
that's
also
on, like, you, Veritek.
But then I guess the flip side would be, and this would be a good question for Alex Cora, not to tell the afternoon show how to do their job, but if you ask Alex Cora that.
Goodness.
I'm just throwing this out there. We don't have a chance to talk to him. So if Hart Fitz, you want to ask
somewhere,
him this?
Somewhere Hart pounded his teeny tiny little fist into a desk.
Get a little angry?
Into a children's size desk.
Just
somewhere.
Saying. No, but my thought would be, like, is it more of a benefit overall? Like, do you feel like you are framing more pitches and you're throwing more guys out on the bases?
Then the
and
7
if the answer is yes, then, like,
yeah.
Sure. Then, like, over the course of the year, you take a few catcher's interference, but you're getting X number more strikes calls and you're throwing guys out. I would say it probably more than evens out, and maybe you continue to do the same strategy, even though it's now under a microscope. Because if you asked somebody yesterday how many catcher's interference do they have all year, nobody would know the answer. But then they lose the game that way, and now it's like, oh, they lead the league, there's 7 of them, and, like, what are they doing? But it probably feels like just keep doing what you're doing. That's more bad luck, really, than anything else.
So I would tend to agree. Like, it's not good to lead the league in a bad stat.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it helps you pitch frame and throw guys out, the trade-off is probably worth it. Last night is just under such a microscope. It's just such a horrendous way to lose a game. It's just
ridiculous.
It just feels like such a kick in the nuts.
Yep.
And again, they were going to lose either way. No one's blaming the umpires. No one's really even, you know, blaming that play.
Yeah, sacks packed, nobody out.
Hicks, I don't think, had it last
Hicks
night.
Didn't have it last night, but he had it the day before, though.
I don't think he really had it in that spot. So
he was throwing gas the other day.
They're losing the game either way. There's a million different things to blame them for. Again, not coming through with their own ghost runner on in the top of the tip. Maybe score, and you have a little more leeway.
Yeah.
So no one's blaming the loss on that play, but it is how the game ended. And it's such a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. You can discuss the way the Red Sox lost that game last night, finding new ways to lose, and the overall trajectory of the club. You can interact, Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. Keep an eye out there. We have our tiers coming up at 11 o'clock today.
Whoa!
Not 11:30.
What happened?
We're going to tear off the Patriots positional groups.
Yes.
So keep an eye on Twitter.
Day before camp. We'll be at camp. Very excited about that.
Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Right. We'll be there tomorrow.
No doubt.
You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. You can watch Tom Curran there. He'll be at 12:30 today on a Tommy Tuesday. So mark that down. You can also listen live when we do Kiefer Madness at 12:45 on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it where with you wherever you go. You can also tune in on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Real quick, this is Narvaez after the game discussing the brutal way the Red Sox lost last night.
It sucks. Like, we don't want to lose a game, especially in that way. You know what I mean? Bases loaded, like, extra inning. Facing one of the best team, you know what I mean? We were there in the game, like, sucks. Like I said, I take accountability on that one. Got to go forward. We got another one tomorrow.
Okay, another one to go. Yeah. As he said, you don't want to give any games away for the Red Sox. Offense, quiet again, Keith.
Yeah, Dave, it started really nice. Like, it, real nice.
It
to
started
start.
About as good as you could start.
Can't do better.
Then it dried up.
It sure did.
How concerned should we be about the direction of the team in the second half? They've dropped 3 out of 4 against quality opponents. And how concerned should we be about the offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, versus good pitching, unfortunately, they have not been able to have a ton of success. You know, they've been able to smack around some bad pitching throughout the year. And this is a run now where those three pitchers for the Cubs were all good. They held them in check. Zach Wheeler's probably going to win the Cy Young in the National League. So on the one end, you could look at it and say, well, you're not going to face Zach Wheeler every single night. You're not going to face him again this year. You're not going to face some of the guys from the Cubs.
Well, what?
Oh, tonight?
No, I was just saying you might get him again, you know,
in the World Series.
In the Jones preseason predicted World Series. I think Billy had that World Series as well. You might get Zach Wheeler
good
again.
Point. Good point. But no, they still got to find ways to win. It also is why I think adding another bat is important. I think if you can add a guy that plays first base, ideally right-handed, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If he happens to be a lefty power bat, then so be it. Figure out your lineup accordingly. These are some good pitchers that they faced, and you hope that when they do start to face some guys that are a little bit more league average, you kind of beat up on those guys, right? I mean, Zach Wheeler mows down most teams. I mean, that's why he's going to win the Cy Young. The guys for Chicago have all had really good years too. They've held teams in check. So I'm not going to freak out over it necessarily. It's not the best trend in the world. You know, they didn't score a lot of runs in the Rays series, but they found ways to win each and every game prior to that. So yeah, this has been a tough 4-game stretch right off the rip, but I'm not ready to bail on them yet.
So I'm looking at, because I do think there's a fallacy on the Red Sox. They don't play well against good teams. I think that's incorrect.
It's not good teams. I think it's like aces.
No. So I would agree with that nuance, to be honest. Like, they're 5-1 against the Yankees.
Yep.
They're 8-2 against Tampa. You know, look at other teams that are in the playoff picture in the American League. They got swept by Detroit,
right.
So throw them out. Cleveland's playing very well. They won a series against Cleveland earlier this year. They split with Seattle, who they're duking it out with for a playoff spot. They haven't played Houston yet.
Right.
That's pretty much the playoff picture in the American League.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the Blue Jays destroyed them. But that's pretty much the playoff picture in the American League. I don't think they can't beat good teams.
Right.
They might have trouble against real high-end pitching, which is why a bat is rapidly,
I know,
rapidly moving up my list for what this team needs. And you just highlighted it. First base, DH, right hand.
Well, let me also introduce this to you, and I know neither one of us are huge fans, Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler, pitching the way he's pitched, I know you're making a face.
I am.
People can't see it if they're not watching on Twitch or YouTube, but you're making
a real face. Yeah.
But if Walker Buehler, and we said the same thing about Giolito and Bayo, it was like, I don't really trust him. It's like, oh, another good one? Oh, another good one. Oh, another good one. So if Walker Buehler, who went 7 innings, 1 earned yesterday, prior to that against Tampa, 6 innings, 3 runs, not amazing, but that's a quality start. Prior to that, it was 5 innings, 3 runs, but 2 of them were earned. So this month, 3 starts, ERA of 3.
Yeah, his season ERA has dropped from 6.45 to 5.72.
He's taking quite a
chunk out of that.
I'm not trying to rely on him. However, does that change at all when you see the team struggling against good pitching?
I hope not.
Still want a starting pitcher over a bat?
Well, I would just...
I mean, I want both, but like, if you had to pick one, I wonder if Walker Buehler changes the equation
at all.
Well,
to me, I don't even factor Walker Buehler into it. So I might still want a bat more than an arm, but I if they're relying on Walker Buehler for anything, they're morons. And I've been bullish on
Breslow. He had a tough month of June. ERA was over 11 for June. Other than that, he's kind of an average pitcher, though.
I was looking it up last night in the middle of the game. So, first of all, credit to Cora. I would have pulled Buehler after five. I know the pitch count was low. I would have got Buehler the hell out of there after five. I thought they were so lucky to survive where they were at.
Oh,
I would have gotten
like,
him out.
He was like a nine-pitch seventh or whatever? Then he was electric.
They brought him back out for the sixth. I'm like, well, definitely get him out now.
No.
They brought him out for the seventh. I'm like, here we go.
What are we doing?
And so, credit to Cora. I would have pulled Buehler so much earlier than he did, and he came through in that spot. I was looking it up in the middle of the game, though, Keith. I'm like, Buehler is pitching a little better.
Yeah.
Is it because he's been in the National League his whole career and now he's seeing National League teams again? I looked up his splits. He's been destroyed by National League teams earlier this season. I think he had a 6 ERA.
The Braves smacked him around.
Yeah, I think he had a 6 ERA against the NL going into that start last night.
Cardinals smacked him around. It's not that.
So I was like, maybe that's what's going on. He's pitching better against the NL. No. I just think he was so bad, he's probably due for a couple of good starts. That doesn't mean, to me, they should rely on
him. Did you see his quotes, though, after the game? He was talking about how... Like he basically, it sounds like a guy who hears everything, and he's talking about how there people are already like projecting the playoff rotation, and he's not in it.
Yeah, so he just wants to stay in the discussion.
Yeah.
I did see that.
So I mean, whatever, like whatever your motivation happens to be, great. Give me more of the games like that.
That's better than it was because he was debating if he belonged in baseball or not.
Yeah, we were debating if he should be DFA'd.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now you're like, can he stay on as the fourth starter for the rest of the year? Now, ideally, you add both a bat and a pitcher, and there's no rule that says you can't. You know, last year, again, I go back to last year a lot. Just do what you did last year, but better versions of each guy. That's what they're in the same spot. They added two relievers, a starting pitcher, and a right-handed hitter, but they were all below average players. The same positions, maybe you don't need two, maybe one reliever, one starter, one bat, but actually invest in the team. I know it's a rocky start, and this unfortunately might be going into like Breslow and the nerds might be looking at it and be like, see? 10-game win streak, that's an outlier. This is what the team is. And then maybe they don't buy, which I think would be really disappointing.
That would be I would flip almost overnight on my guy Breslow.
Yeah.
I have faith they're going to buy, but if I'm wrong and they sit this out, or heaven forbid they sell or something like that, just because they think the 10-game win streak that they had was a fluke, then I would flip on my guy Breslow pretty quick. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would. I'll tell you what, there was a story at ESPN. We'll read it coming up, but there was a story at ESPN. Is it Jesse Rogers talked to the Red Sox assistant GM? I was encouraged by the comments there. They're not talking like a team that believes they just got hot for 10 games.
Good.
I think they're talking like a team that felt like those 10 games represented what they were waiting for months and months and months for the team to
Because you could read between the lines on Breslow last year and Heim Bloom the previous two. Where obviously they wouldn't just come right out and tell you we're sellers or we're not going to make the playoffs, but they would talk about like playoff odds. There was also like the step. Remember, there was the quote about like you don't want to steal future wins for present wins, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of talk and like a lot of different like phrases they would throw around. Where if you were paying attention, you're like, oh, this team is not buying. Whereas I do feel like this year has been a little bit different. Whether it's Breslow speaking, so I guess I'll take that as a positive. But again. Still has to do something.
And again, people keep referencing. We talked about this yesterday. The Terp stat of the week.
Oh, yes. He's in line for it.
Hat tip to Dan Patrick. The American League is worse. They're in basically the same spot record-wise as they've been the last few years. But right now, they're tied for the second wild card.
Yeah.
They lost last night. So did the Yankees, Mariners, and Rays. So that's a missed opportunity.
The American League's bad.
No, like they could have moved up. That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't lose any ground with that loss last night.
Nope.
So they're right in the mix. And they're more in the mix than they have been the last few years. It would be inexcusable. Not to buy at this deadline. How bad was last night's loss? Red Sox inventing new ways to lose these games. Are they worth investing in, and where are you investing? We just debated, is it a pitcher? Does Walker Buehler make you look more to a bat? Because let's face it, the Red Sox haven't hit really over the last five or six games, even predating the All-Star break. So how do you fix that? 617-779-7937. A reminder, it's a Tier Tuesday at 11. We're moving the tiers to 11 o'clock because... Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, speaks at 11:30, leading up to training camp tomorrow. Keith and I will be in attendance at Gillette Stadium. Mike Vrabel, you're here today at 11:30 on Jones and Keith. We have Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday, 12:30. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. So a busy, busy day. Let's get into the Red Sox and the trade deadline. What's your trust level in Craig Breslow?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We went into this season taking a very aggressive posture. The moves that we made this winter, were those that I think signaled it's time to compete, and the product that we had been putting on the field, the team that we've been running out there at Fenway, just wasn't good enough for our fans. And so, we're approaching the deadline, looking at ways to bolster the team, given the play over the last month and a half or so. And, I think I've been saying that the needs seem to be a little bit fluid, because if we talked 2.5 months ago, we would have said, we just lost our first baseman for the season, and we've got to figure that out. And then we've gotten really strong play out of Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro. But we'll be open-minded about the opportunities to bring in a bat that could play first base. Starting pitching, kind of the same thing. A month and a half ago, we would have said we need somebody that can pitch toward the front of a rotation, and and then you look at what Lucas and Brian have done and say, they're pitching every bit the part of a guy who could pitch at the front of a rotation.
Craig Breslow on MLB Network Radio. I liked half that answer.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes with Breslow.
Right?
You're like, stop talking.
I like the first half. And then he's like, yeah, we can rely on Abraham Toro, who bopped a double off Zach Wheeler last night.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, Giolito and Bayo, they're pitching like front-end guys. I'm like, no, you're falling for the trap.
Yeah.
These guys have bridged the gap to the trade deadline. You need to improve on Bayo and Giolito. You need to improve on Abraham Toro and not assume that's going to keep happening. And so the first half of that answer I liked. I feel like he lost it by the end, and I'm questioning what their big picture outlook is as they approach the trade.
Well, same thing happened.
It's a trap.
Yeah, same thing happened a week ago. Thank you, Admiral. It was a week or so ago where he started out similar thing, where he was saying how they can improve the team, they're open minded, this, that, and the other thing. But then he went on to talk about like Kyle Harrison and Tanner Houck, and you're like, wait, what? Like, he like kept naming pitchers, and you're like, you can't rely on all those guys. They happen to be on the roster, but you need to go out there and improve. So I guess I would say overall, it sounds better and more encouraging this year at this time than in previous years. They still need to go out and actually pull the trigger and actually do it. You don't want to hear about on August 1st how close they were to getting somebody and they just missed. Or, player X gets traded to the Yankees or the Mariners and not to you because they offered one extra product. You can't deal with any of that. Like, they're set up to make a move. Everything he's saying right now, I do take with a little grain of salt because he's a GM, essentially, or chief baseball officer. They don't want to overshow their hand,
right,
and be like, oh, we are desperate for a first baseman. But reading between the lines, you're like, all right, you know that you need to add to the team, and the team is worth adding too.
So I'll give you more encouraging signs coming up here in a moment. But just sticking with that for a second, I think Breslow needs to act quick. I don't want him sitting there at the deadline on the off day on July 31st. We joked about this yesterday. They're off that day, right? So he procrastinates. He's like, we got the off day. I'll figure it out on deadline day. Like, no, get out there, get some players here for when you return home to Fenway against the Dodgers, who, by the way, are playing like crap. I'm sure everybody thinks the Dodgers have no shot at going on a run and making a run in the postseason because they're playing like garbage for a couple of games like the Red Sox have. So you're getting the Dodgers at a good time, it seems, coming to Fenway this weekend. Make your trades prior to that series.
Yeah.
Definitely make them before that Minnesota series.
Yes, please.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
Get Joe Ryan to pitch against his former team.
Well, fine. I don't trust, as much as I believe in Breslow, I don't necessarily trust him to, like, wait until the 23rd hour while the clock is ticking down and getting somebody else to buckle to his pressure.
Right.
Get in there early, set the tone. That's what they should do at the deadline.
What are you waiting for?
Thank you. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
So I agree with Julie James.
I also think this is an interesting opinion by Matt on Twitter, at Jones and Keith. He says, Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer looked overmatched last night against Wheeler and an elite bullpen. I think that's a reminder that while Anthony has looked incredible, and Meyer defensively looks incredible as well, offensively he does look overmatched, especially against lefties. But I'd agree with that characterization last night.
Anthony did smoke that one double, and it should have been an RBI double, but you had Bregman hobbling around.
So
I thought he was going to pop his quad.
But I would
first of all, running to first base, I thought he was going to pop his quad. Yeah. And then Anthony hits it down the line. You're like, oh, my God, he's going to get hurt again.
But I would say largely that characterization is fair. They look overmatched. So don't just think about how Anthony's producing night in and night out against Tampa and the Rockies and the Nationals. It's another reason to go get a bat.
Yeah,
like Roman Anthony right now is the big bat in the middle of the order. How is that going to look against the elite pitchers like we see in Wheeler and we saw last series against the Cubs?
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, what's going to prevent them from making that deal is just the fear of losing out on a top guy. Like, I think that's what would prevent them because they have the farm system depth in order to make these moves. And I'm with you. Similar to wanting to reinforce the lineup so not all of the pressure is on Anthony and Meyer. Same thing in the rotation.
Yep.
Bayo and Giolito are having better seasons than I certainly expected, but that doesn't mean you can't add to it. You're not even removing those guys. You're like, hey, keep doing what you're doing, but just in case either the wheels fall off and or we need another kind of horse to get us through the rest of the season and then into the playoffs. And I know Walker Buehler's talking about wanting to be in the playoff rotation. Whether you are or you aren't, Cora finds a way in the playoffs to use his best guys at the right time. That's one positive that we all have for Cora. Now, it dates all the way back to 2018.
It's been a while since
we've
seen
it. Been a while. But, no, we know he kind of can mix and match and use the guys the right way. But I'm with you. There's no reason to wait until July 31st to make these moves. I mean, you can do it at any time.
So we're trying to figure out, do the Red Sox believe in this team, meaning baseball ops? Do they believe in this team? No. Are they going to buy? how big are they going to go at the deadline?
Yeah.
I was reading Jesse Rogers at ESPN today. He's one of their insiders.
All right.
And I guess he sat down over the weekend with Paul Toboni, the assistant GM for the Red Sox.
Got it.
Not familiar with his work.
Not either.
But that's who he talked to.
He's welcome on our show anytime.
Standing invite to Paul Toboni.
Toboni. Okay.
Throughout the whole year, he said, we thought we had a really good team. We were kind of waiting for it to click. That streak, the 10-game win streak, reconfirmed the thought that we had a good team. Rogers then adds, the front office is likely to add pitching, according to sources familiar with their situation. So I just like...
You mean Toboni, the guy you're talking to right now?
That's how it reads to me. You're sitting with the assistant GM of the Red Sox, and then you're like, I don't know, speaking to sources familiar with it, it's like,
that
you mean
right there?
What he told you off the record?
You mean the interview?
But I think that's good. That's
fine.
I hope that's who's telling him. I hope he's sitting there next to Toboni. He's like, this is off the record. We're going to add pitching.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But okay, I connect those dots as well. They're likely to add pitching, according to sources familiar with their situation, while retaining the abundance of outfielders, unless the club is blown away with an offer in the next 10 days. Toboni says, quote, having a surplus of good players isn't a bad thing. The high-end depth is really a good thing. It's not like we're anxious to move away from that. So unless they're blown away, they're not moving someone like Duran. The story continues, though they might have done enough to convince the front office to stick with their current veterans, the Red Sox have some of their toughest work ahead of them. And we've seen some of that with the Cubs, the Phillies, and next up the Dodgers. According to ESPN research, they have the hardest remaining schedule for the rest of the month and the sixth hardest for the rest of the year. That's another reason to make deals at the deadline. And I, again, would tell you, make deals in advance of the deadline to, you know, add to this team and steal this team up for this stretch run.
100%. That's, you know, you look at this team, and I think one way to look at, you know, oh, you have a tough schedule going forward. It's like, okay, but you didn't have Alex Bregman for half the season. And, you know, assuming he doesn't get hurt again, you're now going to have him for the second half. And then if you go out and get somebody, obviously Joe Ryan's a high end, but even if you get like Merrill Kelly, now you're talking about instead of every fifth day, you have Hunter Dobbins or Richard Fitz, you have Merrill Kelly. That would obviously improve your odds of winning more games and getting into the playoffs. And then the whole time, too, the American League's not very good. The Red Sox can't get out of their own way to start the second half, and yet they're the second wild card team.
I just told you.
They haven't lost any ground.
Every team around them lost last night. Yankees, yeah. Rays, Mariners all lost. Now, that's a missed opportunity for the Red Sox, but it does underscore that the AL stinks.
Yeah. And I wonder, we already know that Breslow is more willing to trade prospects than Chaim Bloom ever was. Chaim Bloom was in the...
Chaim Bloom never moved anyone like Kyle Teal.
No.
Never.
He was acquiring them. Like, his whole thing was acquiring prospects. And not to even rip him, John Henry probably told him that. They're like, listen, we're going away from Dombrowski model. We want you to do what you guys did with the Rays and figure this out. But now now that Craig Breslow's here, there's maybe a little bit more likelihood that you look at the top 5-10 prospects in the Red Sox system, they might move on from some of those guys. And not to play this game out too far, but the password, one of the guys we've mentioned, right?
Just Stinkson.
He's an outfielder.
He's got Stinks right in his name. I don't like
Stink,
it.
Stink, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
But you might be able to get something pretty good for him. And when and where does he factor into the Major League club?
He doesn't.
He can't. Like, there's no room for him. There's barely room for the guys that are currently with the team. And most of them are young.
People want a guy who got MVP votes gone off this team because there's no room for Duran. Never mind the password.
So that's what I'm saying. So, like, there's got to be something out there for him specifically to improve the club.
So I agree with that 100%. 617-779-7937. Steve in the truck waiting patiently on the loss last night. That was an ugly one, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing great.
You know, just let me preface this by saying I'm 72. I've been watching this team since 1961.
Nice.
I've seen Ted Williams going. I've seen Kai Schmidt. And the thing that frustrates me the most now is this stupid analytic BS. They can take it and shove it, okay? Let the manager manage. Let the guys hit. There's no need to tell a guy, take the first pitch, this guy throws this. I'm a hitter. I got the bat in my hand. If you want to do it, take the bat and go up there. Same with the manager. I'm the manager. They should be 3-1 right in this trip. He should have bunted Duran last night in the 10th inning. Get the guy over to third. Possibly you get a ground ball or a fly out and the run scores. You're not in the predicament you're in.
Okay, Steve, interesting point.
Argument. He likes small ball.
Should they have bunted last night? And the situation was Duran was up 2-0 in the count. I mean, you could have bunted on the first pitch if you wanted, but Duran was up 2-0 with a ghost runner on second, nobody out. Should they have bunted in that spot? I mean, in retrospect, I think it's you want the run.
Well, yeah, now, but no.
I wouldn't have bunted.
Probably not. And the way Duran was swinging it, no, I probably wouldn't have. And then I understand you're like, well, ideally you get him over, then Bregman's up, and then one swing, and you know you hope you get a run in. So now you're playing for one.
Maybe what's crazy is the day when Willier had two home runs, he laid down a bunt the pitch before he had his first home run.
Yeah, he fouled it off,
in
right?
In the seventh inning.
Yeah.
I guess I can't really make
heads
or tails
of that.
So what
are they doing in the seventh inning and not the tenth?
Well, yeah, that's strange. But also there's a difference between the top of the 10th and the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah, it's also a different hitter. You know, like, I mean, I don't
Willier
know.
Willier has never bunted in his life, I'm sure.
That's fine. And Abreu is the guy you want to probably swing away, but I don't know. I didn't have a problem with not bunting there. I have plenty of problems with Cora, plenty of complaints about Cora.
Yeah.
That's honestly not one of mine. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have tears at 11 o'clock because Mike Vrabel speaks at 11:30. You'll hear it live on WEEI. We also have Kiefer Madness 12:45, and it's a Tommy Tuesday with Tom E. Curran at 12:30 today. Mark it down. And speaking of the Patriots, let's get to the top storylines heading into training camp, which begins tomorrow.
Woo!
At Gillette. Jones and Keefe in the house for it. We'll be live at Gillette tomorrow. What are the top storylines? We'll get to them next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Travion Henderson, man, he's going early. Like, he might go first round early. Speed, explosiveness, and you want to know what scouts freaking love about this guy? The blocking. And the same thing, I was talking to a director of personnel today, and he was like, the blocking. And I was like, just like Zeke, he's like, exactly. He's like, you know what you're getting. You keep him on the field every single play. He doesn't have to come off the field. You see that speed and the way he cuts. And everyone I talk to, it's the same thing. Going to be a better NFL player than a college player in terms of production and consistency.
We go in the Wayback Machine there. That was Todd McShay.
I like it.
Leading into the NFL draft, a little scouting report on Travion Henderson, who we'll get our first look at tomorrow, Keith.
Can't wait to see him. See that speed.
I'm looking forward
to it. You might miss him.
You really might.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be in attendance at training camp tomorrow, open to the public. Jones and Keith will be there at Gillette. So that's one of the players I personally am looking forward to.
He's a freak. He's a Pascal.
We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel, I'd imagine, on Travion Henderson, among other topics, coming up at 11:30. You'll hear that live on Jones and Keefe heading into training camp tomorrow. Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at 12:30. And tiers. We're going to tier off Patriots positional groups at 11 o'clock.
All right.
So that should be a fun one. Shuffling the schedule a little bit just based on Mike Vrabel and his availability. Meg O'Keefe had her top five storylines going into Patriots training camp tomorrow. You want to work our way through these?
I do. Is this better than her top five football movies?
I think so.
Because that was rough. Or was that top 10? I forget what she
ooh,
did.
Ooh, I think it was more than five,
yeah,
for sure.
I didn't care for it. But I'm all ears now on the storylines.
Okay, you tell me how big of a deal. You want to go on like a scale?
I have
1 to 10 binoculars. What do you?
ten being the most binoculars.
Yeah, 10 being the
most. I'm into this story.
The most binoculars looking at what's going on out there versus one binoc.
Sure.
Okay.
Like a monocle.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
From monocle to telescope. Okay. Where do you rank?
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Top storyline to watch at training camp tomorrow. How consistent does Drake May look?
Not for me.
That's not high on your
Drake
list.
May's Drake May's high May. On my list. I have two ahead of him. I have two ahead of Drake May. But Drake May's a good one. It's a great place to start. Okay. I mean, he is the quarterback of the team. Everyone's expecting a big year to jump. So I don't disagree with it, but it wouldn't have been the first name that I came up with.
I didn't hear a binocular rating there.
Oh, seven binoculars.
Oh,
I agree with Joe.
Oh, wow.
Seven binocs.
Seven binocs.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
it just wasn't the first thing I would have responded to you with.
Okay. Number two on Mego's list, and we have an update on this today. The health of Stephon Diggs.
Telescope. Full telescope for Steph Diggs.
You tell me if this is good or bad news, Keith.
Okay.
Diana Rossini reports.
We're going to hear the news.
Stephon Diggs has been fully cleared. Cleared for full participation at training camp per her sources.
Okay. So 50-50 at best, probably, on her sources. But let's just say for funds that this is correct.
Great news. Well, and I think the Reese effectively reported this over the weekend, right? When the Patriots came out with their PUP and NFI list and Diggs wasn't on it, Reese is like, he's trending towards being out there day one of training camp.
This is fantastic news.
Who knows if that's a full participant, by the way.
Doesn't have to be.
And I'll tell you, Keith, you know, brag, but I did TV last night.
No way.
And Phil Perry.
Yeah.
Not bullish at all on Stephon Diggs. It actually was quite jarring. I want to ask Curran about this.
Knocking the wind out of our sails.
Yeah, he not bullish at all. Really, from a health standpoint, coming back from the ACL, like he was shockingly down on Steph Diggs by my taste.
I don't like that.
But even he was like, yeah, he might be out there, but is he going to be doing everything? What's it going to look
he
like?
He may not be doing everything right away, but it's July. It's day one of training camp. I thought when they acquired him, there was a chance he started on the PUP list, and I was still happy about the signing.
I didn't think there was a chance. I thought it was a probability.
Okay, so there you go. So you're at least ahead of that schedule. Right, so the fact that he was even going through some of the motions during OTAs was a good sign. Now that he's going to be out there, even if he's limited, fine. He's not going to be the only player limited, and it doesn't mean that those guys can't play week one. But I would even tie, obviously, his health into the Drake May stuff. Like, if Drake May has a good year, has a good camp, and has a you know an awesome second year, my guess is Steph Diggs is going to be a big part of that.
Okay, so we have two storylines so far. The consistency of Drake May, 7 binoculars,
yep,
according to Keith.
Uh-huh.
The health of Stephon Diggs, 10 out of 10 binocs.
Yep, that's the one.
Storyline number 3. Does Christian Barmore look like it's 2023 again?
4 binoculars.
4 binocs?
Yeah, not as... yeah.
You're not looking for...
I don't think that's going to be the first guy I'm looking for.
You're not looking at the big uglies? The Hog Molly?
I'll get in the trenches,
Jones. Hog Molly's O-line. Is more O-line.
O-line, yeah.
Big uglies is D-line? Or is that also O-line?
I'm not going to call him that. I'm not calling that at all.
I don't think we're talking to any players.
But no, D-line, less interest to me.
Okay.
Me personally.
4 binocs.
Yep.
How much has the, speaking of the trenches, O-line improved?
So, I don't know what the fifth one is on this list, but O-line / specifically Will Campbell, I would say 9 binocs. I think
9
that's the next
binocs.
Biggest thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what a swing that could be. You either have a good left tackle, an average left tackle, or no left tackle, right? Like, we don't know what Will Campbell's going to be.
A good left tackle, an average left tackle,
or no.
Or a future left tackle.
Or
guard.
A guard.
Yeah.
Or a guard. That they're like, it's okay, guys. He's a good guard. Like, I don't want a good guard.
Yeah.
At 4 overall, I want a good left tackle. And so I think Drake May, obviously, super important. He's the quarterback, very obvious. But for him to be successful, it's Diggs and Campbell. If Diggs and Campbell are really good, then he has enough. Right, we had people texting in yesterday. It's like, what do you guys? Does he need like 10 all pros with him? No, he doesn't. But he needs some time to throw. Enter Will Campbell and someone to catch it and maybe run after the catch. See Steph Diggs. If he has those two guys playing well, then I do expect a good year from Drake May.
And not that we're going to know this at camp. And maybe this is something Fitzy said to you last week. But he does start right out of the shoot.
Oh yeah, Max Crosby,
Chop Robinson, T.J. Watt.
Yep. Like welcome to the NFL.
Welcome here we to go. The NFL, Rook.
Yep.
Number 5 on Mego's list, up now at WEEI.com. And this is one I kind of forgot about, and I think this is a sneaky, interesting one.
Okay, well, let me tell you.
Is Terrell Williams on the sideline? D-coordinator for the Patriots, who's been dealing with a health issue.
Yeah, I would, that's up there. 6-7 binocs?
Six binocs. Okay.
Yeah. Is he out there? And then if he's not, like, what happens there?
Well, right.
When does he
come back? How hands-on does Vrabel have to be on defense if he's not there?
Right.
I think that's an interesting thing to watch. The name that's not on the list, or names, I guess, that I specifically want to see are Henderson and Kyle Williams. Like, those two rookies I just want to see.
Good one. Is there
anything else you would add to the list?
Yeah, maybe even the safety position a little bit, because I think at one point Peppers and Duggar were looked at like as a great safety duo. Then last year, obviously, Peppers was off the field for a while. And Duggar, I didn't think was great. And then they did draft Craig Woodson in, what was it, the 4th round? I think it was the highest defensive player they drafted.
Pick, yep.
So, like, just sort of how that all balances out. I know we talked about surprise, maybe trades away with Curran last week. He went on WEEI Afternoons, talked about surprise cuts.
Now, Duggar and a winner, right?
Yeah. Now, it's a surprise cut, so you can't just have an obvious guy. That's the whole point. He's not predicting a cut. But just those two guys, I think Duggar on Wenu, and I would throw in Ramondre Stevenson, are in an interesting spot where it's like, are you guys going to be good this year, or are you getting replaced?
Let me give you another thing that Phil said last night.
Okay. Which is the Phil show.
It's the Phil show. I said, camp battle I'm interested in is Henderson versus Stevenson, like, to be the starter. I know they're both going to play.
Yeah.
And Phil goes, what if the real battle is Gibson versus Ramondre?
Could be.
Henderson's going to have a role. What if the real battle is those two, which highlights you?
Ramondre could be forced out.
So there you go. I mean, between Duggar, Unwenu,
yeah, I'm interested in the running
Stevenson,
backs. I am.
All those guys have gotten giant extensions in the last couple of years. So how does that look? All right, grading the camp storylines to watch tomorrow on the patented 1 to 10 binocular scale.
Yep.
Keefe has the consistency of Drake May at a 7. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
The health of Stephon Diggs, 10 out of 10.
That's it.
Christian Barmore, I think you were 4 binocs on that.
Yeah, lower for me.
O-line improvement, specifically Will Campbell, that's a 9.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's the next best thing.
And Terrell Williams, D coordinator, will he be out there? That was a 6 on the binoc scale.
But I would put running back up there. I'm interested in how that all shakes out.
Me too. I'm a simpleton.
And sure. Like, give me wideouts, quarterback, running back.
That's basically what I'm going to be looking at. I'm not a lot of trenches for me, not a lot of defense for me. Kickers, special teams, things like that, not for me.
Oh, let me throw another one at you real quick.
Yes.
Carlton Davis is beginning the year on the NFI list.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily for tomorrow, but over the next 2-3 weeks of camp. When do we see him? Do we get any updates on him?
And I just would highlight, we don't know anything yet. But
Or ever.
Me being me, no, it's true. Me being me, I would connect dots to the guy skipping out on OTAs and, you know, doing his own thing on jet skis and whatnot.
Sick jet ski, though.
Were you here? Were you working out? Were you getting in the proper shape? NFI. That could be, you know, he cut his finger chopping onions or something
like
that.
Maybe he got stung by a yellow jacket.
It also could be, you know, he was working out away from the facility and yanked something, pulled something. So I'm just curious, and we'll see if we get an update on that. 617-779-7937. We will have an update on Keith's B story coming your way next hour. You're going to hear from Mike Vrabel as well at 11:30, head coach of the New England Patriots. That'll be live here on WEEI with training camp starting tomorrow. Jones and Keith will be in attendance at Gillette Stadium. And coming up next, we had to move the tiers up a little bit because Vrabel's speaking at 11:30. We're going to tier off Patriots positional groups on a Tier Tuesday next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.